We're going to be in the book of Esther tonight, and so if you want to find that, if you go to the book of Psalms, go back, Job, and then Esther. Esther, Job, Psalms. And you'll find that. Esther chapter 4 is where we'll be here tonight. And I appreciate your pastor and his pastor's wife. And I think it was mainly because of Sandy that I overlooked a lot of things with Brother Tad, and give him a chance to to make amends. And I'd forgotten a lot of those things that he presented. Although the one, we had one metal building, and on the front side of the church there, front parking lot, and I was coming from the back side and through the back door, and I looked at the metal siding and I couldn't believe it. It was dented, but it was like 6 feet up on the metal siding. And then I found out once he would confess. He really he didn't really. He tried to fix it before he would tell me what he did. So he ran into the metal siding, and he took that piece from the back to make it look nice out front, and he took that piece, because it was so messed up, he had to turn it upside down. So where he actually dented the metal siding, now it's 6 foot high, because it was turned around on the back of the building. But, and so I said, how in the world did that happen? About that time he called, and he told me what he had done. And I had forgotten about most of those things that he did. But again, they were times that the Lord used to mature both of us. Amen. To help me to have more patience with my staff. That's right. Exactly. Our God's good. Amen. And so, the book of Esther, chapter 4, if you would, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God together tonight. And what a blessing it is to come and just enjoy being in church. You know, just enjoy the fellowship of other born-again believers, those that believe like you believe, who want to hear a message from the Word of God, who have a desire to learn more and more about who God is and the messages that He has for us. And so, what a blessing it is to be able to come into an atmosphere like this, this much like back home. People come early, stay late. They just enjoy being in church. And that's something that it's hard to instill within people. It's just something that you see happen by your love for God and helping the people understand, you know, just what the church is all about. And assembling, understanding His presence, being here. And we come to, as your statement, honor God by being obedient to the Word of God and then wanting to praise Him. And then sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear the Word of God being taught. And so that's what we're looking to do here tonight. Esther chapter 4 and verse 13, and we'll read down to verse 16. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again. And it is a tremendous blessing to be in church on this Sunday night, the Lord's Day. It's a blessing to sense your presence in this place. It's a blessing to be able to unite with other believers and sing praises unto Thee. And then to open up Your holy word and, Lord, just have a desire to learn from it. And I pray tonight, God, that you would do just that, that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and our minds to be receptive to what you have for us, and then not only to receive it as coming from our Almighty God, but also to apply it as you would have us to. I pray that you would use me once again tonight to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Esther. What a tremendous book of the Bible. What a powerful historic Bible story. I mean, this is just not in the Bible. This is in world history. This is something that we can look back on and put a date to and realize it took place. And yet it's recorded in the scriptures. Knowing that this is in the scriptures should convince every believer that prayer and fasting works. If you know the story here, and it looked really dim for the Jews, and to see how it was turned around simply by praying and fasting to God. And I know you've just went through a series on prayer, and I know I think Brother Rusty preached a message on prayer, because prayer works. And fasting is an extension of prayer. And praise God that we have the extension of prayer that God has given to us of fasting. And when fasting is connected to prayer, it's a very powerful, powerful tool that God has given to us. And we find this recorded in the book of Esther. Now, this particular event in history that God's recorded in the book of Esther, it took place in history around the time that the Jews had been granted their freedom from Babylonian Persia captivity. The 70 years had come and gone, and through God's promise, he was working through the kings to be able to let the Jews go back to their homeland. Many had returned to the promised land of Canaan. The second temple had been built at this particular time. It would have been around 458 BC when this took place. The second temple had been built, and Nehemiah would have been rebuilding the walls around this very same time. What a blessing to understand this is historic. This is something that we can learn from history as well as from the Word of God. True proven history goes hand in hand with the Word of God. True proven science goes hand in hand with the Word of God. True proven, not what humanity wants you to believe, but true proven science goes hand in hand with the Word of God. So around 458 BC, this was taking place. Not all of the Jews would return to their homeland. Many would have stayed in Persia. Persia would have been modern-day Iran. If you look on the map today, 458 BC, this would have been modern-day Iran. As many stayed in Persia, they had established themselves in the land, as according to the Word of God, God told them to establish a testimony in captivity. And we don't have time to go back and study all that, but they had established a testimony to their God in captivity. And once now that they were allowed to go back, those that stayed were successful believers, successful Jewish believers in a Creator God who stayed in the land. One who had stayed and was devoted to God, as we read the book of Esther, would have been Mordecai. There's a lot to say about Mordecai in the book of Esther. And it's a tremendous blessing when you read the book of Esther and study the character, the Bible character of Mordecai. But he stayed there, and Mordecai had raised Esther, who is now the queen of Persia. We don't have time to go into all that. It's recorded here to a certain extent, but Mordecai raised Esther to know who the God of creation is. He raised Esther to realize that the Jews were God's chosen people of the Old Testament. The Jews were to represent God to the rest of the world in the Old Testament. Underneath the leadership of Solomon, the whole world envied Israel. The whole world looked to Solomon and to Israel as a model for other nations to follow. The Queen of Sheba traveled across the world to be able to see for her own self what Solomon had done in Israel. The whole world envied. Solomon had one of the most powerful armies, one of the most powerful navies of all of the world. They were, under Solomon's reign, the envy of the world, until they turned from God, and we studied a little bit of that this morning. God judged them and took them into captivity. And now they're returning, or they're allowed to return, but many of those stayed in the land of Persia, where now Esther is queen. Another main character that you'll find as you study the book of Esther and you look through this was, if you will, the vice president named Haman. His position would have been that right underneath the king, as we would look at that position today and say, well, he would have been the vice president of Persia. Haman wanted the people to bow down to him. Look over here back in chapter 3 and verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, Esther's father, who raised her, Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Look down to verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. How dare you not bow down to me? Don't you know that I am the vice president? Yeah. And verse 6. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So Haman now says, I'm not only going to have Mordecai killed, I want everybody in this kingdom that has the very same belief in a creator God, I want them to be killed. So he takes it to the king in verse 8. And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws, based on their God, are diverse from all people. They're a cult. They're a hindrance to the nation. Basically what's taking place. Their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's profit to suffer them, to allow them to be in the land. Then, if you would, verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, to cause to perish all Jews both young and old, little children and women, in one day. This is not only Bible. Listen to me, church. This is history. This is recorded in world history. But God has it in the scriptures to realize it's something that He wants us to learn and understand. Both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 20th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for to pray. Death to all Jews and their beliefs and their God. Verse 13 is what was carried out by Hamas in Israel on October the 7th, 2023. Very same. The same evil that was behind the destruction and the desire to destroy the Jews in Persia has the DNA of the same evil that looked to destroy Israel on October the 7th. Little children, murdered. Little children raped. Same evil. Did not want them to live. Did not want them to have any influence in the world. If you understand that, I don't see how anybody could support Hamas. I don't see how anybody could not see Satan himself at the core of what was taking place then and what's taking place in society in this 21st century. Anti the God of Israel. Anti Abraham being the father of all Jews. You see, the Jewish nation was chosen by God, and God had a purpose for them in the Old Testament. They do not see Jesus as the Messiah today. The Jews, for the most part, Orthodox Jews, have been blinded to this church age. Very clearly revealed to us in the teachings of Christ. They still serve the God that we served in the Old Testament. But the God of the Old Testament sent His only begotten Son to be the God of the New Testament, to give us a new and living way, a different way to live life, the life of Christianity. At the end of things, God will have a purpose for the Jewish race in the millennial reign. Don't have time to go into all that. But God had a purpose for them in the Old Testament. He will have a future purpose for them in the millennial reign. During this church age, the Jew gets saved just like the Gentile gets saved. No one is born into salvation. We're born sinners and need a Savior. And you have to believe in Jesus being the Savior of the world to receive Him as your personal Lord and Savior, to have eternal life. And we have this entire church age to present Jesus as the Messiah. But this church age is going to end with the Antichrist wanting to do the very same thing to Christianity is recorded here in the book of Esther. It's the DNA of the devil himself. Antisemitism has been around for a very long time. The church needs to be aware of God, His plan for Israel, and where we're at today in New Testament Christianity. As we have this to learn and we have this to study and apply to our 21st century Christianity, there was a need for God's help then, and there is a need for God's help now. Esther needed to be reminded that God had placed her in the position to serve her God. This day was coming. And on this day, if things had not changed, the Jewish race in Persia would have been completely wiped out. And the people would have done the same thing they did on October the 7th. And they would have abused all they, and they would have taken whatever they wanted to take from them. But God had a plan. And God always has a plan. We just need to look to Him to apply His plan. Mordecai knew that God would not allow this. He knew that God had a plan. And he understood that it was possibly the reason that Esther was now the queen. In chapter 4 and verse 13, and Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself, thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews." He reminded her of what was going to take place on that day. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom," look right here, "for such a time as this." We are where we are today in this 21st century to serve our God for such a time as this. Are we effective? Are we effectively witnessing and helping others to know that there is a God in heaven? Are we effective in our testimonies at our workplaces? Are we understanding that God has placed you where you're at? If you're saved, God has a purpose for your life, and He has placed you where you're at to do a work for Him, to be the light that God wants you to be in this dark world that we live in, to stand when it's time to stand, to witness as we ought to witness for the cause of Christ, to stand upon the Word of God, not be afraid by the world's attack on Christianity. Antichrist, the Word of God reveals to us, is going to become worse and worse. You know what Antichrist is? It's anti the teachings of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, can we get any more anti teachings of Christ concerning His church? Concerning this Bible, concerning creation, concerning morality? We're living in a day and age now that we have gone so far away with gender ID, gender identity, and the things that they are making law blows my mind. And yet, as a believer, I know the Word of God. I know what God says. For such a time as this, we're here. Possibly the most exciting, if you look at it right, time in all of human history. To be those that will actually go up in the rapture. Can I tell you that every preacher who's ever lived in this New Testament church age thought that the rapture would take place in their lifetime. I'm closer than any of those in the past. I don't know that it'll be in my lifetime, but I am closer to it than any of the preachers of the past. But I do believe that I will see the coming of the Lord. I will hear the trumpet. I will be raptured up with my wife and my children. I don't want to have to go through the loss of it. If it's God's will, I will. but I'd rather all of us be raptured up together. That's a hope that I have. That is a vision that I have. If you look at the world today, it can't get much more antichrist. So that's important. At such a time as this is your testimony. Most of these young people that are having sex changes and are filled with all this different things of the world, they've never heard a clear presentation of the gospel that God loves them. That they're sinners by nature, and Jesus came to pay the debt for their sin, and He will save their soul, and they can have an eternity in heaven to look forward to, and a life on this earth to be a witness for the cause of Christ. The light of the world, the salt of the earth. That's why we're here. For such a time as this. Do we see the urgency of that in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our military? Wow. God has you where you're at as a believer for such a time as this. Esther knew that she would need God's help. If she was to go before the king, she could be killed. I mean, all the laws, the different things of the Persian Empire, don't have time, but she knew if she would take the stand that she had, that Mordecai was wanting her to take, that could cost her her life. She knew that she would need God's help. And so she said, "Go and gather together all the Jews. We're in this together. All Christianities are in this. All Christians are in this together." "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me." Pray one for another. Fasting is an extension of prayer. Jesus introduced prayer and fasting as being fasting as this kind. "This kind cometh not out but by prayer and fasting." The disciples had been casting out demons for some time. They run across this one situation where they could not, the Bible says, cast out the demons. And they didn't know why. They just gave up. They gave up on casting out the demon. And the father said, "I'm not giving up on my child." And the father took the child to Jesus himself and said, "Your disciples failed. They couldn't do it." And Jesus was upset with the disciples. And he said to them, "This kind. You could have done this, but this kind." There's going to come different types of battles that you're going to face in your life. And you're going to have to understand the power of not only prayer, but you're going to have to understand the power of prayer and fasting. And this kind of trial, this kind of battle that you're facing is only going to be won by prayer and the extension of fasting. But he had equipped them with that. He equipped them to accomplish what he had them there to accomplish. They just didn't have enough faith in it until after he did cast out this demon. God has equipped you to accomplish what he has for you to accomplish where you're at in this 21st century at such a time as this. You just have to trust it. You have to trust it, and you have to ask for God's help. And sometimes you need to add that fasting to your prayer to draw closer to God, to be able to be strengthened by God to accomplish what you need to accomplish. Yeah. And so she calls all the Jews together. "Fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day." If there's no sacrifice in the fast, there's no power in the prayer. Amen. Yeah. "I also and my maiden will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. I'm willing to do it." God sees fit. He'll give us the victory. If it's not God's will for us to receive the victory, I'm willing to perish and doing what I know God would have me do. When we are fasting, we need to be crying out to God. Cry out to God in prayer, but it intensifies when you start fasting, like connecting that to prayer. You'll find that your cry is louder. You'll find that your cry is from your heart. You'll find that your cry reaches into the very heart and ears of God. Psalmist would say this in Psalm chapter 50. Let me just read this to you. In the book of Psalms in chapter 50 and verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Look to be doing what God would have you to do. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When you sense the presence of God and the power of God, you have the peace of God, and you glorify God. Just as you have looking this year to honor God, glorifying God is honoring to God for sure. I would recall in Daniel in chapter 3, in verse 16 to 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. He's able to deliver us. He's able to keep us from being slaughtered as the Jews. He says, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, if he doesn't answer the prayer as we are asking that for him to answer the prayer, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. We are going to remain faithful to God, no matter what his answer might be. But we don't know all the purpose of God and why he allows certain things to take place in our lives. Esther, no matter the outcome, she would do this, even if it would mean losing her life. Wow. Are we that committed to our faith? Will we let a little persecution keep us from taking the stands that God would have us to take? You never know who's watching. You never know who it will be impacted by your life and your testimony. God honored their fast. If you've read the book of Esther, you realize that our God has a sense of humor. Haman, I'm telling you, I get a kick out of it every time I go through the book of Esther and I read and I see Haman's fear and his thinking he had it all together and he was going to hang Mordecai. And how it all, he thought he was going to Esther's home to be blessed. And God turns it all around. Yeah. Esther chapter 7. Let's go back there with me. Let's read this and we'll be done. But Esther chapter 7 and verse 6. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Mordecai was given Haman's position as vice president now in the land of Syria. And as he was given Haman's position, now the persons who would be the most influential in the land of Persia would be the queen and the vice president, who would influence the king and Persia in a witness of an almighty creator God. Wow. I just don't know how God would work through your life and what kind of blessings as such as you would take up that mantle and you would be looking to be the witness that God would have you to be. But I do know in doing it, you'll be honoring your God for such a time as this. In America, we need Christians, truly born again believers, taking a stand for Christ.